Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jody Peterman. We know that no one understands what you need better than you do. We take care to guide you through the legal process, ensuring that you're able to make the decisions that are best for you. If you have a personal injury, criminal, or family law issue, please take a look at our website to learn more about our practice. We offer a free initial consultation for personal injury cases. Give us a call at 229-375-5680. We have a reputation for being accessible and treating our clients well. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, I'm Guy Terry of Terry and Peterman. At Terry and Peterman, we're committed to representing the hardworking residents of South Georgia in personal injury, criminal, and family law matters. For years, we have worked with college students in this area to ensure legal issues do not disrupt their academic careers. We also represent military families struggling with divorce and family law issues. We rely upon over 30 years of combined experience to provide aggressive representation for our clients.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, joined by Josh Wheeler. Johnny Danger is out sick tonight, but tonight we've got a lot to talk about. Our guest calling in around 7:30 is Patrick Arrington, who is the owner, promoter, booker, and GM, among other things, of LaGrange Championship Wrestling, which is another one of these new shows that has come up. They've done two shows, and they're doing their third this Friday, I believe it is, out in LaGrange. So yet another promotion in the West Georgia area. I believe that's four fairly major ones running consistently now.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess Tallapoosa slash White, whatever Hard Times is, would be West Georgia, and then of course you got Peach State, you got UIW, and you know those are the two big ones. And kudos to Peach State. You know, they brought in Jeff Hardy. They proved me wrong. I have no idea how they came up with the money to pay for him. I had heard rumblings that they weren't going to be able to afford him, and then all of a sudden they afforded him. And from what I hear, they drew very well, so kudos to them.
I would imagine so if they have Jeff Hardy there, but I know UIW
is
also
running. And that's
running.
What I find so weird is, like, and nothing against Jeff Hardy, but – and this is where, as a wrestling pundit, I'll just call myself a pundit. I'm not an expert. TNA can't draw over 400 or 500 people with Jeff Hardy, but yet an indie show can draw 750. That just lets me know that TNA as a whole is a broken brand at this point. And, you know, I know we're going to talk about Georgia wrestling, and there's really something I want to talk about. But very quickly, I don't know if you heard the rumor. There is a rumor that CMT, Country Music Television, is going to pick up Jeff Jarrett's new wrestling product, and that could possibly start airing as soon as January of 2015. So it's going to be very interesting to see where that all plays out. But, you know, Jeff Jarrett, of course, has a connection to the Tennessee and Georgia area. We know that Jeff Jarrett knows Mr. Barron's very well. So it could be a good chance for some Georgia guys to really get a chance to shine if they're given that opportunity. And, I mean, don't forget, it was Jeff Jarrett who really put AJ Styles on a national level. And what a perfect segue. God, I must be a professional at this. Speaking of AJ Styles, I'm requesting, people, I'm hearing, Chip Day, AJ Styles tore the house down. I need some video of this matchup. I know I've said some disparaging things about Chip Day. It's all in good fun. It's all ribbing. With Chip and I have known each other since Chip was like 15 years old. If he took it personally, you know, I apologize. I never meant it to be a personal attack on Chip. It was more of ribbing on he's got a gun, trying to get Chip to call in, because Chip has always been, you know, one of our guys. He's the Gardaki to my Vendrell, and I hope he doesn't hate me. But I do want to see that match because I heard it was phenomenal. God, horrible pun there. I'll let you take over now after that shitty pun. So,
well, you mentioned TNA, and that reminded me that TNA will be back in Georgia soon, April 3rd in Augusta, April 4th in Macon, and April 5th in Dalton. Which
I had no idea that was even happening. They're doing it and getting stuff out.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem is they just don't get the word out very well. And I know myself, whenever I do go to TNA shows, when they come through Georgia, I get free tickets, and they usually offer me a lot of free tickets to give away. And I think most of the people that go to the shows are getting those kind of vouchers or some kind of, you know, they'll do appearances at what's the auto insurance company that they work with?
Direct Auto Insurance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll give away tickets or do like 2-for-1 tickets and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say about TNA. They'll go so long doing bad business and doing terrible shows, and then they'll have short periods of time where it feels like they're figuring it out, and then like recently towards the end of last year they just went to shit again, and I don't know what to say about
it. It's a weird brand, and as a wrestling fan you want to see TNA survive and you want to see them do good, but at the same time as a wrestling fan you're like, Jesus Christ. I mean it's not that it's easy. I mean, it's not easy. I mean, anybody that's ever tried to do wrestling. As a matter of fact, I mean, let's be honest with you. Everybody that's ever promoted professional wrestling has failed, except for Vince McMahon. That's just how hard it is. When you look at the history and the lineage of the promoters that have been in the business, they've all failed except for Vince. And it's a weird business. It's a tough business, but at the same time, you want TNA to do good. Because you need a national product to not only even compete with Vince, but just to give a platform for a different kind of wrestling. And I think the biggest issue with TNA, and I've said it, I think, on this podcast before, is they try too hard to be Vince Light. And
right.
Vince Light will never get over. There is a huge market, and I've said this a million times, in the South. The South wants wrestling, whatever you want to call it. They don't want sports entertainment. They want wrestling. They want what they grew up watching. And that's why you start to see, like, the West Georgia area is a perfect example. Like, UIW, Peach State, Hard Times, I don't even want to put Hard Times over, but, you know, Hard Times at least has some decent guys on their roster. And then you look at what Cornelia has consistently done. Those are wrestling fans that go to those shows. Those are not sports entertainment fans that go to those shows. And that's where if you present wrestling in the South and stick to the South, you could have a successful product. And in all honesty, if Jeff Jarrett's on CMT, you play that country music market and it's a whole nother avenue that Vince McMahon will never touch, that these smart mark promotions up north will never touch, because they don't want to touch, you know, the South. And Wednesday night, Duck Dynasty will be featuring, I think Cassie Riley's going to be in their show. They're doing a wrestling show at their family reunion. Honey Boo Boo, another reality TV star, was at Rampage Pro Wrestling. Yes, it drew the biggest crowd in the history of RPW. That's right. Honey Boo Boo's more than Daniel Bryan. Go ahead and type it up, bloggers. But, yeah, I mean, Honey Boo Boo is a big fucking star. I don't like the fact that she's a big star, but she's a big star. And if you can get to be on national TV, you take it any way you can. And
yeah.
I was proud to be a part of that production, very proud to be a part of that production.
Yeah, I remember that.
So,
Chip Day was on that episode, right?
Yeah, Chip Day was on that episode, and that's just one of those things that, you have to look at it from a business standpoint. It's, you know, and it says more about wrestling than anything that Honey Boo Boo draws 300 people to a wrestling show and not Daniel Bryan. Now, Daniel Bryan today, of course, would, don't get me wrong, but
yeah.
At the time, nobody knew who he was.
Yeah.
And speaking of Daniel Bryan, I've pitched this to you. I wish Johnny wasn't sick because I would have loved to hear his takes because I'm sure he's got some good ones.
Yeah.
Favorite WrestleMania matches of all time?
Well, that's a tough one because obviously there have been 29 WrestleManias. And, I mean, regardless of which era you're a fan of, you know, there was – some of the biggest moments of the Attitude Era, some of the biggest moments of whatever you call the era before that.
The IcoPro era.
And then, I don't know about the last, we were talking about this before we went on the air. The last few years, I don't know. I think some of the bigger matches have been at other pay-per-views or even on Raw sometimes. But nonetheless, it's still the biggest show, of course. And I don't know. My favorite era of wrestling overall was like the pre-Attitude, pre-Monday Night War era.
Right.
for whatever reason. I liked WCW better then, and I liked WWF better then. So, of course, the first few WrestleManias, there was Andre and Hogan, and there was Savage and Flair, and all those huge matches like that. But I think my favorite overall was the Hogan-Warrior match at WrestleMania 6. I know a lot of people will hate me for saying that.
No, I don't hate you. It's actually hard looking back, and as bad as I hated the Ultimate Warrior and as bad as I hated Hulk Hogan, it's a good match. And BuzzFeed, and honestly, I did not realize BuzzFeed did this, but it was funny that they did it, as I mentioned this to you today. They ranked all 287 WrestleManias, like the matches ever. And the fact that there's 287 WrestleMania matches, and the fact that as a trivia question, you could name a WrestleMania, and I can probably name almost the entire card in order, that's kind of fucked up little trivia thing that I can do. And I think Sal Rinaro can actually name every card in order. I've been a WrestleMania mark my entire life. I 99% of the time I will hate Vince McMahon, but the idea of WrestleMania as a kid was so cool, and it was the one show that you had to watch growing up. And I was a wrestling fan before WrestleMania, don't get me wrong, but I think WrestleMania made me say, God, how cool would that be? You know, like me growing up, I knew I was probably never going to be a wrestler, but to be a commentator or to be a ring announcer or to be a manager and be a part of WrestleMania, that was like, that's the dream. That's the end-all, be-all. It's, and anybody that's in the business today, they cannot say that their goal was not to get to WrestleMania, because they'd be a liar. I mean, everybody, when they start in the business, that's what they want to do. They want to be at WrestleMania. And I think for me, it's tough. I know my favorite match will forever, in a doubt, will always be the Iron Man match with Bret and Shawn.
Yeah.
Because there I was, you know, it was 1996. Shawn was at the height of his popularity. Bret was always one of mine and my little brother's favorites. I was more of an Owen fan than a Bret fan, just because, you know, I was kind of a smart mark even back then. So I had knew of Owen's New Japan stuff, and I followed Owen a little bit more in the magazines than probably most normal people did. And so I loved that match, but I also loved Bret versus Owen at WrestleMania 10, and yeah. I also love Bret versus Stone Cold. It's weird, like, you know, when I make my top 10 list, I think there's four fucking Bret Hart matches in my top 10, but I never put Bret Hart in my top five wrestlers of all time until a few years ago when I realized, Jesus Christ, this guy dominates my favorite match lists. He dominates it. So I would definitely go with Bret and Shawn is by far my favorite. I think for the importance of it, Hogan Andre, it changed business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it completely shifted. If there was ever any doubt at who the number one promotion was, and growing up in Georgia, you know, we preferred the NWA, we preferred WCW, we preferred World Class, and, you know, Mid-South had just was getting bought out by the NWA at the time, but that's what we loved. But when you saw WrestleMania 3, you're like, fuck, man, this is awesome. I think I was 6 years old. It was awesome. I mean, Hogan Andre was awesome. So I think that's probably the biggest, most important match in the history of the business. And like we talked about, you know, before we came on, I want to bring it up is, like, I would say WrestleMania 20 to WrestleMania 29. It's been very. I've not been a fan of the cards at all. I think the last really good WrestleMania match. See, and I wasn't even a big fan. Like, everybody else was like, oh, that Triple H, Shawn, and Benoit match was so great. I didn't really like it. I'm not a big fan of the triple threat matches. I don't know why I'm not a fan of them. I just never really liked them too much. Even being an ECW mark as a kid, I wasn't the biggest fan of three-ways. I liked four-ways, but I didn't like three-ways. But I felt like that WrestleMania 20, my favorite match on that card was actually Goldberg-Lesnar, which a lot of people shit on.
Yeah.
But I just thought that the story that they told and trying to get that crowd to shut up was actually one of the cooler things that I'd ever witnessed. And Goldberg's not one of my favorite workers by any means, but I just really enjoyed the story that they were trying to tell. So, and honestly, you mentioned before we went on that you went to WrestleMania 28. I still to this day, like, that Hell in a Cell with Taker and Triple H and Shawn, I had to put my top 20 just based on Shawn Michaels as the referee.
Yeah.
because he was so good.
Right.
And, you know, I tend to argue with people online a lot because I get bored and I do this at work. As I think the Sheamus-Daniel Bryan match might have been the best thing ever happened to Daniel Bryan.
Oh, I thought that as soon as it happened because I was at that WrestleMania and the rest of the show, the yes chants were going, and then the next night at Raw was when it really went over completely, the whole yes thing. So, you know, a lot of people say this whole thing with Daniel Bryan has started at SummerSlam, but it started.
No, it started. It actually probably started with the entire Nexus thing, if you think about it, when he, you know, was spitting on John Cena saying, I'm better than you. Yeah, but... And it's interesting, and like, you know, and WWE would never actually say, oh, yeah, we plan to do this, but I think it would be the coolest thing in the world, and this is the inner Mark and me fantasy booking. If Daniel Bryan beat Triple H in 17 seconds to open WrestleMania, I would pop bigger than shit. That would be a true Markout moment, because that would pay homage to how it all started.
If Triple H turned to give Stephanie a kiss and then turned around and got the knee or something...
It would be totally perfect. It would be totally perfect.
Yeah.
It would be so
I was
perfect.
The same thing.
I would mark out bigger for that than I would for Daniel Bryan winning the belt, because I could care less who the champion is, because it's you know, it is what it is. But I think from a storytelling, you know, paying homage and it almost like, you know, I'm a Breaking Bad and The Wire and The Shield fan. So to pay attention and to do something that intricate in detail would mean more to me than anything else I could do.
Yeah.
With that said, it's going to be like a 35-minute snooze fest, and they're going to end up like screwing everybody over the sledgehammer or some bullshit like that. But
yeah, and then Triple H will end up in the title match later.
Oh, yeah, of course. And actually, it's funny because I actually kind of conversed with Rip Rogers a few times on Twitter and stuff. And him and I are both in agreement. Bautista winning the entire thing is better for anything the company could do than Daniel Bryan winning, but that's just our opinions. But so that's my WrestleMania moments.
You mentioned Shawn Michaels a lot, and I haven't gotten all the way through, but I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I got the Mr. WrestleMania DVD in the mail from WWE, and the Tatanka match from WrestleMania 9.
Sucked so bad.
I liked it. I'd forgotten about it. You don't hear much about it, but I thought it was, I think it's a little underrated. And, of course, The Undertaker, you can't mention WrestleMania without mentioning The Undertaker. And I remember when I watched the Streak DVD that came out, I guess, a couple years ago, I was surprised at how good The Undertaker versus Diesel was, because usually Diesel matches.
Dude, I love that match. I love that match. Like, I'm sorry. People can shit on Kevin Nash all they want to, but you know what? When the guy wanted to work, he could work.
Yeah. Well, I think also The Undertaker brings the best out of pretty much anybody he wrestles, but that was a perfect example of that, as was his match with Mark Henry. What was that, 22 maybe?
Yeah, it was 22, the casket match, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that one was really good too.
Okay, so since we're talking about the best matches, we also got to talk about the worst matches. What is, in your opinion, what do you think is the worst match in the history of WrestleMania?
Well, that, I don't know. That's one I don't.
It's really hard.
Well, you don't remember the worst.
There's been
matches.
So many bad ones.
There have been, but of course, they only remind you of the better ones. You know, a lot of people talk about the Rock and Hogan. Which, didn't they wrestled more than once at WrestleMania, didn't they, or was that other pay-per-view?
No, they did WrestleMania 18, and they did an in-your-house, not an in-your-house, but one of those mid-level pay-per-views like a year later.
Okay. So the one, you know, everybody talks about how the match itself wasn't a very good match, but the energy and the crowd kind of made it. But, I mean, I don't know if it's fair to say that's one of the worst matches.
No, I don't think it's one of the worst matches. I think the worst match of all time is
the Snooki one.
Sorry.
Be up there.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, there's been some celebrity matches that were really bad. I mean, I thought Aki Bono and Big Show was kind of silly, but I think and Aki Bono was actually a great professional wrestler. I mean, I was a huge mark for him in Hustle. I honestly think the worst match in WrestleMania history is David Sammartino versus Brutus Beefcake. Because in all honesty, neither one of those two guys deserve to be in wrestling, let alone on WrestleMania. But, you know, based on who their friends were at the time and who their dad was, they were on the show, and it was a horrible match. It just was not good. It's one of the one matches that I can say, if you put in WrestleMania 1, go ahead and just hit fast forward. It's not worth even in watching. And I also absolutely hated Corporal Kirchner versus Nikolai Volkoff at WrestleMania 2.
Yeah.
Hated it.
But I'm trying I don't have the WWE Network, so I haven't seen a lot of – I haven't gone back and watched a lot of WrestleManias recently, so I don't remember the bad matches. But Snooki was in Atlanta, wasn't it?
Yeah, Snooki was in Atlanta. So, and honestly, like, it's not that the match was bad. It's just, you know, it was a wasted match. Kind of like Maria Menounos, it's just a wasted match.
Yeah.
And it really shows you – they don't value the women's division, which is surprising because – Mickie James versus Trish Stratus, in my eyes, might have been the best match at WrestleMania 22. Like, I thought that match, for the time they were given, was phenomenal.
Or that was the time period, the last time period I can think of when they actually did anything good with the women's division or divas in WWE. I thought Mickie James, the whole stalker thing, was really cool and entertaining, and then, of course, they put on some good matches, but basically, I'm trying to think. I guess after Lita and Trish Stratus retired, that's when it kind of went the direction that it's in now. I can't think of any.
And that's the weird thing with that product is the fact that I'm not the biggest women's wrestling fan, but I'm starting to have a better appreciation for it. Because I've been going to some of the Shine shows here in Tampa, and those girls actually work their ass off for what they do, and some of the matches are actually really good storytelling matches. Sometimes you get too much into some of the girls tend to work that pro wrestling gorilla beyond wrestling style, where it's like, come on, bitch, fucking just sell. You're a fucking pretty bitch. You don't have to fucking do all this shit. And then you see the better ones, like Serena Deeb, I think, is a perfect example, and Mickie James was a perfect example of, and Gail Kim, another good one, that they can work the mainstream style, but still work the independent women style too, and it works, and that's going to women that grew up probably watching the All Japan Women, where those bitches told stories and they wrestled. And I think with Misha Tate and Ronda Rousey and some of the other women UFC fighters becoming more mainstream, I think WWE should pay more attention to their women's division because there is a market for it.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Isn't one of them even girls in UFC has a four horsewomen faction or something, I heard? I don't keep up with the UFC that well.
Yeah, I don't
but...
really keep up with it like that. But, I mean, Ronda Rousey has become a legit draw for the UFC, and you know it's a good and bad thing for those that do watch The Ultimate Fighting, because she's tough, she's a great microphone, you know, she's a great interview, and she's the perfect heel. But the problem now is that she's so dominant, you know, it's going to eventually run out of style because no one can beat her. But at the same time, it really brings to the level that, and Leila Ali did this in women's boxing too. Like, she mainstreamed it, she popularized it, but she was so dominant that there was nobody to face her. And then women's boxing kind of faded off.
Yeah.
So that's where wrestling could do it right, because you could get a dominant woman, you could really build someone up, but then because wrestling is an art, you know when to get, you know when to fix it, you know when to find that person that can pull the upset.
Right,
and that's where TNA, and that's to me is when TNA dropped the ball, was they had that dominant woman that could have been a legit beast for years, and they killed her momentum too soon with Awesome Kong.
Right, and then I guess WWE didn't really screw that up because they didn't have a chance to, because she
got pregnant. Yeah.
Yeah. It looked like they were going in the right direction with her though. Like, they were at least
establishing.
Yeah,
they could have done something with her, yeah. So.
Well, you mentioned, I think WrestleMania 22 has come up a lot, and I'm remembering now that Isn't that when Edge and Mick Foley had that hardcore match?
Yes, that actually, and when I had a chance to interview Edge when I was working at radio, that was the first thing I said to him. Well, the first thing I said to him was that he looked like the drummer from Foo Fighters. And the second thing I said to him was that is like him versus Foley is by far Edge's greatest match and definitely his greatest WrestleMania match. Now, I know a lot of the marks are like, how dare you not like the TLC matches? Well, I don't like train wrecks. I don't pay money to watch a train wreck, and that's all that match is to me. It's a train wreck. Now I know a lot of spot monkeys like, oh, what a great fucking match. No, it's not a great fucking match. It's a train wreck. It's everything wrong with what professional wrestling has become. And if you watch that match in slow motion, you realize just how fucking horrible it really is. And those are six very talented guys who put on a train wreck that everybody, you know, marked out for in 2001 or whatever year it was, and didn't realize just how damaging that match has been to the business.
That was
because now every fucking show does stupid giving. Speaking of which, I didn't want to get on a rant today, but fucking AWN and fucking Four Valley the other night did a fucking Flaming Tables match.
Was that one of their biggest shows?
Who cares? Bigger show? They don't even draw 100 people. What are you doing a Flaming Tables match for?
Who was involved in the match?
I don't know. Was it Zach Edwards and somebody? I don't even remember. But it's like a Flaming Tables match in a building that small, in front of a crowd that small. You might as well just go. Using fire is one thing, but advertising that you're going to do, that this is going to be what, you know, on the poster, someone's getting put through a flaming table, and we know that we can only pack 100 people in here. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. The person putting it on is an idiot. Like, what are you doing? Like, that's one of those things that, like, have you run out of ideas?
I guess so.
I don't. At least, and that's the thing, like, I know for a fact that Cornelius had a flaming table before where there was like 300-400 people in the venue before they did it.
Yeah.
Other promotions have done flaming tables. I know we had a match at PWE where our flaming table was the finish, but at least we had standing room only, 200 plus paid at the Armory. Like, you know, these kids today, man, like, we get it. You want to get the shock value, but it's and I saw this today, and I forgot Kevin Sullivan. I saw this today, and I was listening to something Kevin Sullivan was talking about, and he said, "Remember when a ring post shot would end your career?" And you know, he said that, and he goes, "And now you do a ring post shot, and you better be up in 3 seconds, ready to fire up." Because now nothing matters. And now the crowd is so desensitized to everything that we do, plus they're desensitized in general because they play video games that are fucking violent as can be. Like, violence no longer sells. What's going to sell is realism. Realism is what is now the selling point in pro wrestling. Believe it or not, if you do something that looks real, people are going to go like, oh, my fucking God.
Yeah, well,
that's
Daniel Bryan.
Why shit works.
The Daniel Bryan beatdown, was that last Monday?
Dude, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And you know, I put over on Facebook a few weeks ago the Stephen Platinum Shane Marks thing. You know, again, I could pick and choose little things that I didn't like about it from a technical standpoint, but from a story standpoint, it felt real. That
right.
whole, like, from the fucking, from Shane Marks taking the flaming clothesline the first time, to the finish of the match that came out of nowhere, that, you know, and again, like, the only thing I would have really changed about that is I would have made the finish a little bit slower, but I think it still worked for what it was. But, you know, the way it happened, and then the way that Bayley came in, and Bayley fucking, all he did was he just shoved her down, and the crowd gasped. The crowd gasped. And when you get the crowd to gasp in any form of entertainment, you know you got them.
Right.
And then I mean, come on. The guy gets the microphone and says, I am Jeff – what is it? I am Jesus – Jeff G fucking – I forgot what the line was. But God damn, it was perfect. It was perfect for what it was. And that should be the stuff that these kids are like, that's what we need, man. We need a good story. Watching someone burn is not fun, man. Like, I'm sorry, it's not fun, but you can make it at least tell, you know, interesting. But I don't know. I could go on for days about this bullshit.
All right. Well, the WrestleMania talk has officially concluded for this week, but I think we're going to pick it back. We'll talk about it again next week when Johnny Danger can join us and Larry Goodman might join us as well. But before we get to our guest, since it is WrestleMania related, I wanted to mention that Wrestling with Pop Culture will be hosting a WrestleMania viewing party at Famous Pub, or Club Famous inside Famous Pub, where Monstrosity Championship Wrestling runs. And Phantom Troublemaker, who is the ring announcer, who also has a website called Needless Things. Let me see what the full needlessthingssite.com, where he talks about wrestling, among other things. But he's going to do WrestleMania trivia before WrestleMania starts. It's a free event. So if you still want to go out and watch WrestleMania with people and you're not going to New Orleans, you can come join us at Club Famous. What is it, April 6th?
You guys doing wrestling trivia?
Yeah, WrestleMania trivia.
What's the prize?
There'll probably be bar tabs and...
Man, I wish I lived in Georgia because I would dominate that.
Yeah, you would. Because I think...
I know I would. That's the scary thing.
Well, if you can find a bar down in your area that'll host it,
I'll be watching WrestleMania on the network on the convenience of my couch, drinking some craft beer with nobody around me, and I'll be 100% perfectly content until around 8:05, and I'm like, okay, this show's gonna suck, and then I'm gonna go to bed. No, I always been a mark for WrestleMania. It's just The past few, I've just have been so disappointed with it. That's why, like, 28 was good, but I was at 27 then when it was in Atlanta, and it was literally one of the most disappointing things, because it was like, I'm at WrestleMania, and then it was just so disappointing as a show, and it was just like, it's kind of like finding out Santa Claus wasn't real. It just, you know, it kind of just kills the fun of Christmas.
Yeah. Our guest is waiting on the line, so we'll go ahead and bring him on. He's, as I mentioned earlier, he's the owner, promoter, booker, GM of LaGrange Championship Wrestling, and his name is Patrick Arrington. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We're doing all right. We've just been talking about WrestleMania for half an hour. Do you have any favorite WrestleMania matches or moments or anything you want to mention?
I guess my favorite one of all time was the Stunner Hunt Around the World when Steve beat Shawn Michaels for the title. I guess that was probably my most favorite one. Huge, huge fan, a huge mark for Steve, and love Shawn Michaels too. But I think that was probably the biggest one that I remember. Of course, growing up as a kid, everybody remembers all the WrestleManias, the Hogan headlines. But moreover than that, I guess the next best one would be the Andre the Giant Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 3. A lot of people don't give Andre enough credit for, you know, being a giant like he was, not to mention the man that he was outside of the business. So those two are probably my top two of all time.
Those were both good ones.
They definitely ushered in two very distinct eras, and they were definitely money-making moments. Speaking of money-making moments, you are a promoter.
Yes, sir.
Why are you promoting? And, like, that's the first question I ask anybody that's promoting pro wrestling, because, you know, I've been there, done that. It's like, you know, and if someone asked me today, why'd you do it, I'd be like, I have no fucking clue. So that's always, you know, why did you decide to promote professional wrestling?
Well, I got into the business 15 years ago, and at that point in time, it was just doing some small stuff and thought, you know, if that's what I wanted to do, and I did a little bit here and there, and I got away from it, started working jobs and going to college, and, you know, there's not any money in it anyway, so there wasn't any time for it back then, and I stepped away and met the love of my life and got married and started having, when we got kids, and then we got grandkids, and now, you know, told them stories about wrestling and the things, and they're big fans and everything, and been on the road with Chick before and been on the road the last couple of years with him, and a couple of years ago, Chick started wrestling here in town. It was Down Home Championship Wrestling back in 2011. And I kind of ran behind the scenes stuff with him, you know, doing the production work and helping him out with some stuff. And I was, you know, his right-hand man doing that. And that ran its course. Money ran out back then. And it's just been kind of a waiting game. It's something my whole family wanted to do. What did we want to do and how do we want to do it? So once we figured out, okay, this is what we want to do and how we want to do it, you know, it's just a matter of getting things lined up financially to be able to do it. So that was the inspiration so that my children, my wife, and my grandkids could see me do it, be a part of it, and take, you know, what I felt was the next step for me. And honestly, I like behind-the-scenes work probably more than I do out being in front of a crowd. There's nothing like the pop of the crowd, like I was talking about a while ago with Jeff Bailey. When you get a reaction from the crowd, and no matter what form of entertainment you're doing, that's great. But seeing your work that you can see from production standpoint is more, I get more satisfaction out of that. And that right. was my reason for it.
So what would be like your 100% goal for LaGrange Championship Wrestling? You know, just kind of like delve into to kind of like, you know, not only your business plan, so to speak, but, you know, what's the goal? What's some of the things you're doing to obtain the goal? And where do you see it kind of going in, like, the next, like, 3 years?
First of all, I hope to get through the first year, to get to the next second year, and then the third year. That's an awesome, you know, that's a totally long shot goal, which is something that's very obtainable if you keep your product the way you need to be. My ultimate goal, excuse me, is we have a stadium here in town, Callaway Stadium, that the high schools and LaGrange College perform at. I would love to do, you know, West Georgia or Georgia's version of WrestleMania with independent circuit and showcase a lot of guys on the independent circuit that, you know, you go and see from town to town, but I'd love to give them a, you know, grandfather of all stages to perform on. And that's my ultimate goal that I want to get to, is build it up to where we can work to that. You know, we're drawing good now, doing 200, a little over 200, and this is just our second show. Our third one's coming up this Friday. So I'm hoping that we can build enough to the point and get enough notoriety and be business enough to make that next step to do a big outdoor show. And that's a long shot. It's a very long shot. But, you know, you got to dream, and you got to dream big, and if you can't do it, you go home. And I look back at Vince McMahon when he decided to book the Pontiac Silverdome. That was an all-or-nothing deal, and it was an all-or-nothing deal for the first WrestleMania. And that's the way it is for me. And that's not just me. That's my family and everybody else that's involved, and you guys and everybody on the circuit. You know, that's something that if I could put – I think that stadium holds about 10,000 people. If I could put, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 people in that stadium and celebrate it, that would be just awesome. And that's what my long-term goal is.
Right.
Which stadium are you talking about? I'm sorry, what stadium were you referring to?
It's Callaway Stadium here in LaGrange, Georgia.
Oh, okay. Is that like for the local college or something?
Yeah, it's
or
the
is it
local
high school?
Stadium. Well, it's high school, but the college actually plays on it now. LaGrange College does. So mm-hmm. it's being used in that capacity, you know, during the football season. And they're talking about building another one or doing something different. But that's just that's kind of a local landmark that's been there. And that would be awesome to, you know, have a big show right there in that venue, because that's not something you see every day. And let's face it, a lot of the people who come out to support independent wrestling, which is the greatest thing on the planet to me, they don't, you know, they can't get to a WrestleMania. They can't, you know, a few years ago we were blessed in Atlanta to be able to go. And like the guy said, that WrestleMania kind of sucked. I mean, it was one of the worst ones I've ever seen, but, you know, you got to experience it. And to be able to change that and give these guys on the independent circuit who bust their butt day in and day out, and it's because they love it, it's not because of the money, to give them that capability to perform on that stage, I think that should be the job of every promoter, to give them an opportunity to shine as far as talent and let people know that, you know, wrestling is still, while it's mainstream for WWE, it's mainstream for us folks in these small towns too. It's something to do. It's entertainment. And, you know, it's not just entertainment, it's sports as well. It's both things, it's sports entertainment. And there's so many avenues to be able to go. And if you have a bigger venue and have bigger, you know, where you can put more people in it, then you have a greater chance of not only exposure. And you know, I'm not trying to get recognized, me or my group, nationally or nothing. The publicity from being able to talk with y'all, I was just floored, you know, when I got the message from you. That's awesome, and that's an accomplishment. Okay, we're going in the right direction, and we want to keep that. And all that goes towards that long-term goal.
Well, so who are some of the guys that you're using, and who are you kind of building around, and who do you see as part of this long-term process?
Well, and with that said right there, of course, Chick Donovan, longtime friend of mine until recently. He and I go back 20 years, and, of course, right now he's our champion. And, of course, this Friday he's going up against the former WWE TNA superstar Johnny Swinger, and then Luke Gallows is going to be involved in a triple threat match. Of course, you know, some of my mainstays right there are people like Tommy Too Much and Simon Sermon and Dennis Gale and, you know, Cowboy Dennis Gale from South Georgia, who's been in the business 40 years. And then I've got two guys from Florida, Michael Patrick and Leo Bryan, who from Tampa, they come up and work. Of course, you've got Ash in there with us, and then Wild Child Joey Kidman. Those are my building blocks, but my mainstays in it, you know, trying to get to where we're going on the first side of stuff until we get to our blow-off. And then, you know, I want to use some of those guys that have a name that work, that do quality work. And, of course, Jake Slater's with us as well. But at the same time, continue to cycle because you have to grow. You have to take somebody, no matter who it is, if they have the potential, you want to give them a chance to grow and kind of be not say a local star so much, but on the independent circuit, somebody who can get notoriety and move to the next level, maybe move to another show. And that's the format that I'm taking with it now.
Yeah, you mentioned...
John, you had a question before I asked.
Well, yeah, I mean, he kind of segued into it anyway. The reason I contacted you initially was the same reason I contacted the guys from Center Stage Pro Wrestling a few weeks ago. It's a new promotion. There's some impressive names on the poster. It looks like it could be something or maybe not. It just depends. So, but you know, I waited a little while, and, you know, I saw two or three posters for shows for LaGrange Championship Wrestling, and Simon Sermon was on all of them, I think. And, you know, you mentioned a lot of other big names, Chick Donovan, of course, Tommy Too Much, all those guys are impressive, but I know Simon Sermon basically won't wrestle on a show unless he knows it's a good show or that the people know what they're doing or something like that. So that was the main thing that attracted me.
Yeah, you can't.
Simon worked for me for years, so.
Yeah, you can't find, and I've told this to several people, you can't find a better guy than Simon. I mean, in the locker room, professionally, yeah, you know, everybody cuts up, and you got Hayes and everything that goes on, but as far as being a professional, that guy's jam up. You can't say enough to put him over. And Tommy's the same way. And can't leave out, you know, Jake Slater or any of the other guys
Jake Slater.
But they're all – those are the guys that make shows, and they make shows because – they realize what they're doing. It is a profession. You're not making money like you would want to make, but it's a profession. And I'd rather have somebody who takes it seriously. And like you said about Simon, he's not going to do just some BS angle. I mean, he's not going to come in and do BS work. You know, he does it because he loves it. And that makes all the difference in the world when you have guys just like Tommy. You know, neither one of those guys do it for the money. Nobody does. You do it because you love it. And that makes all the difference in the world. You can't say enough about any of those guys. And that's not forgetting about Chick and Elrod Campbell, who's on the card. I've known Elrod for a while, and he's, you know, he's still starting out. He's getting somewhere, getting better every day. But you can only be better if you're in the ring with guys like Simon, guys like Tommy, who've been in the business, who've done things. You know, that's how you get everybody better.
No,
right.
I agree with everything you're saying, but you just to clarify – earlier in the conversation, you were in the business 15 years ago or some odd years ago. You kind of left because you weren't making money, and now you're happy that guys will work for you for almost no money.
No.
Am I misconstruing what you said?
Yeah, you are. When I got into it, you know, my dreams and aspiration when I got into it was to be on TV. I wanted to be, you know, WWE. That's what I wanted.
Okay.
I was WWF back then. And that's what I was saying about that. Doing this with these guys, that nobody makes any money because, I mean, as far as, you know, you go out there every how many nights a week you perform with these guys on the weekend or whatever, if you want to call them weekend warriors, are you getting paid for the torment that your body's going through? No, you're not getting paid in that regard. No, nobody works for me for free. I'm not going to ask you to work.
I didn't say that they were for free. It sounded to me like there wasn't enough money in wrestling for you to wrestle back then, but now you're because these guys, like, it was just seemed a little like contradictory of why you got out of the business, but now why you love these guys working for you.
Oh, no. I got out of it because there wasn't any money for me when I was trying to work three jobs and go to college.
Right, so are you saying that you didn't love the business is kind of what I'm getting at, because you there wasn't enough money for you and your love wasn't strong enough?
Well, my love was strong enough, but as far as having the time to dedicate to it, no, I didn't have it. I lost that desire because I realized, okay, there's other things in life I want to do. I can't, and I couldn't do it at 100%. I couldn't do it and be on the road. I couldn't do it and make shows and get in there and continue to do what I needed to do. And I realized, you know, I can't do three things at once. I can't go to school. I can't, you know, work and try to do this and try to do wrestling on the side, because I've got to give it all or nothing. And that's where now I'm in a position I can give it all. So that's what I do.
That's a better clarification. So, you know, LaGrange Championship Wrestling, you're in the West Georgia area. We talked about it earlier before you came to the show. That's becoming like a hotbed again. You know, it's you know, Mark Grayson's over there with Georgia Wrestling fans, and he's really, I can't give him all the credit, but what he started doing back in like 04, 05 with his website and really cultivating a whole new fan base really for wrestling, it's helped like Peach State grow. It's helped UIW grow. And, you know, I'm sure it might help you grow and so forth. So how do you compete with two giant promotions like UIW and Peach State that are bringing in Jeff Hardy, bringing in, you know, ODB in a few weeks for UIW, bringing in, you know, this unbelievable, like, name talent, and, you know, your budget's probably a little bit less. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But how do you compete with those two guys that are running these shows 15, 20 miles from your venue and not, you know, you got a show Saturday, right?
Friday,
okay.
This Friday.
So how do you convince fans that are going to go to UIW or to Peach State to see, you know, what they have? How can you convince them to go to LaGrange?
Well, on that right there, they're not as close as 15, 20 miles. Of course, Billy running UIW is going to be running in Franklin. I spoke to him the other night, and he's going to be going back to Franklin for a little while. As far as competing with them, I'm not in the business of competing with anybody's product because we're all in this together. My thing is I'm not trying to make money off of this. What I want to do is make enough money to keep doing shows to entertain people. It's not a profit business for me. It's a what money's made, we put it right back in the show to make the show better. Now, what we do from an aspect of differentiating our shows is the experience is different. It's a completely different experience because we add other aspects to it that it's not only entertaining but draws attention to the whole show in itself. And with right there, like with Jeff Hardy, you know, great guy, great talent, bring him in. Of course, you know, there's reasons why he's there and reasons why he's not with us. Do I look to try to bring in, you know, names like that to compete? Yes and no. Right now, I realize where I'm at, and right now we're crawling. Those guys have been in business for years. Billy's been doing it for years, and Shane, I've worked for Shane before as a referee, and Shane's been doing it for years. So you have to build to that, so that's something to build to. But as far as, you know, convincing, we have our core base here in LaGrange, and that's where most of our people come from, and they don't really go out of town. So it was more of an effort to get established and put LaGrange on the mark for having its own product, just like, you know, UIW has where they go and where Peach State is in Carrollton, is to establish that and get to that point. I'd love to book, you know, Jeff Hardy. I know in reality that's something that Jeff's not going to do a lot, just like with AJ Styles up in Tallapoosa Friday night. That's not something that's going to happen a whole lot. But you have to build to that. And you know, Johnny Swinger and Luke Gallows, that's a stepping stone for us to get to that point. I'm not one of those guys. I know there's been places where they bring in a big name like that and you take guys that are, you know, your top guy, so to speak, on the circuit. I'm not going to mention any names, but you end up cutting those guys out, and those are the guys that are the workhorses for your card, workhorses for your promotion. I don't agree with cutting those guys out when they're the ones paving the way just to bring in a name.
But my concern would be, you know, you're not as close as I thought you were, because, and again, I'm not the greatest person when it comes to geography, but at the same time, you are in a sense competing with them, because there's only so much money in that area, and if UIW's selling unbelievable heroin and Peach State's selling unbelievable crack, you're coming in here trying to sell some OxyContin, eventually the market's going to be cornered on what addict's going to buy what. So would you be, do you feel like you could be safer by going to a different area, or is there a strategic reason why you're in LaGrange and only LaGrange?
Yeah, the strategic reason right there is, and I've had people inquire about, you know, would I bring LaGrange Championship Wrestling over to Alabama? Would I bring it to this area over here? Would I be willing to go to Columbus? I've had all that asked. And the answer right now is no, because we have to build to where we're building. And as far as competing with those guys, you know, we all pull from the same talent pool. It's basically the old territory days is what everything's getting back to. My reason for being in LaGrange is where I live. And I know there's nothing here. And
right.
When we did shows years ago, everybody since 2011, when they see me on the street, when they would see Chick, when is LaGrange going to have wrestling come back? And the question is, when you ask those people on the street, you ask these fans that are supporting your show, you know, do you want to see one show or do you want us to have a continuous show? No, we want our own show. We want something that belongs to, you know, Troop County and belongs to LaGrange. And that's where... Okay, let's keep it local. And if we grow beyond that, we grow beyond it. If we don't, we don't. So as far, and I realize there's a competing. And we had the discussion the other night, you know, about what nights Billy's going to run on, what night Shane runs on, what night these people are going to run on. And it was a very interesting discussion because while we are competing, like you said, at the same time, we also, we don't want to interfere with what somebody else is doing. So it was very
right,
go ahead.
And my only thing is, like, okay, like, Joey Kidman, Simon Sermon are two perfect examples. They work at Peach State. Everyone knows they work at Peach State. You know, I'll just throw out Bull Buchanan works at UIW. He's a top guy at UIW. Bobby Moore is another guy that works at UIW. The Usual Suspects work at UIW. Pandora works, you know, at UIW pretty much predominantly. So if you book one of those guys – are you kind of like, do you feel like, are you worried that like Stan and Billy could say, hey, I don't want my guys working LaGrange anymore? Or are you worried that Shane Knowles would be like, you know, Patterson's a nice guy, Chick's a good guy, but it's better for us if Joey Kidman doesn't work those shows anymore? Are you worried about that? Because you are very close to them.
Mm-hmm. Worried.
And those shows have a little bit longer longevity than you do, and a worker is going to say, well, you know, unless you pay me X amount of dollars, I'm going to have to stick with the more known show.
Oh, yeah, and I've already had some people tell me, you know, not mentioning any other federations or groups right there, but I've had some of the guys that's worked with me say, hey, you know, normally I work this show, but if you pay me X amount of dollars, I'm willing to drop that or put that to the side and work your show. And that's one of those things where when you bring somebody in and you're running an angle with them or you got them on a storyline, like just about everybody on my card, there's the reason why they're doing what they're doing, they tend to, you tell them up front, this is what we're going to do till we get to our blow-off. Am I worried about somebody saying that? Yes, I've heard that before. So on one hand, you know, there could come a day where somebody says, look, you know, you just use Kidman for an example. I know him and Zach's tag team champions up in Peach State. And we've had that discussion, you know, and Kidman told me, look, you know, I don't have no problem working with you, but I can't do anything that conflicts with that. That's not a problem. You know, that's a booker's issue right there, whether or not you conflict with that. So I try to work with the guys on it, and if that happens, it happens. And you can't – I know, when RPW was running Warner Robins, there was an issue with that. When Grady Odom tried to start back up in Macon, there was an issue with that. And I can understand that completely. But, you know, Macon and Warner Robins is a whole heck of a lot closer than what I am with these guys. And – when you start talking about talent that is really talent and they know how to work, they know how to do a show, you got a limited pool here in the state, especially here in West Georgia. A lot of the guys work close, like you said, so that is an issue. So what I would be worried that it could come up, yeah, it can come up, but that's one of those things you, when you get to that bridge, you cross it.
Okay, that's fair. I'm just, you know, that would always be one of my concerns working, you know, that close to somebody else is, you know, case in point, Kidman, I hate to keep bringing up Kidman, but Kidman can't lose to Chaka Zulu, you know, who no one knows who Chaka Zulu is, but Kidman's a known guy in that area, and you know that Rick Michaels or Shane Knowles is going to be like, hey, you can't make my guys look weak.
Yeah, yeah, and that came up actually the last card, Kidman, when I was able to get Kidman. You know, he had an injury right there, and he just had gotten started back when I talked to him.
Right.
And I've known Joey for a while, too, and he said, you know, the thing is, I'd love to come up and work. You know, y'all heard y'all got a great crowd. Jake has told him, and some other people have told him, look, they got a great crowd. It's good work. And, you know, he said, but I can't, if you put me in the ring with somebody because of where I am in Peach State, I don't need to get beat up by some jabroni. And that's not to knock any undercard guys. That's just, you know, the terminology. And, you know, no doubt, you know, I realize that. You have to be smarter than, number one, you can't just throw a card together. You can't just
right.
say, like you said, all right, here's Joey Kidman, who's a well-known star in Georgia. He's up and coming. He's getting big. I mean, he's hot, you know, and you can't put him in the ring with Bob Skillet, so to speak. And Bob Skillet, nobody's ever seen him, and he beats Joey Kidman.
Right.
That don't make any sense. You know, that don't make any sense at all. That's just like when the WWE let Rey Mysterio beat Big Show. We all know in reality that won't ever happen. So you end up burying a guy when you do something like that.
Yeah, and that would be like one of my concerns. Like again, like, and I'm not trying to bash your promotion. I mean, if you're doing good, I don't know anything about your promotion. To be perfectly honest with you, I've seen some of the posters. You know, me personally, I would be like, I wish your poster looked better.
Yeah, the
I've seen a few photos here or there, but you know, I can't sit here and you know, I mean, I could tell you exactly you know some of my ideas, but I have to charge you because that'd be a consulting fee. But my whole thing is like, and you know, you do have Mark Grayson on the shows, and you do have Kidman, and you have Simon Sermon, and you do have Chick, and Chick's a known legend in the States. But at the same time, like, I don't know some of the other guys on your show. I've never the guys you mentioned from Florida. I live here in Florida, and I could probably tell you 90% of the top guys in the state of Florida, and your guys don't register on that list. Doesn't mean they're not good. It just means I never heard of them. So.
Yeah. Leo is actually just starting. Michael Patrick has been around for a while. He actually, back last year, moved out to Texas the first of last year, the end of the year before
okay.
that. So he just has come back.
Right.
If you ever – he's worked a lot down there, and he's got – he has MP on his shorts. We always joking. Chick always called him mashed potato or moon pie because we didn't know what the MP stood for. He's a pretty big guy, and he's a good worker. Totally
okay.
different. And, you know, Florida wrestling is different than Georgia wrestling. It's always been different. You know, it's a different style of work. Up here, you got more of the guys who are smaller but faster and do more things, whereas those guys are more methodical, going back to the old Briscoe days and stuff like that when you had Dusty Rhodes working down there. Yes, Dusty
yeah,
was a big
you might
guy.
You might have said that a few years ago, but, I mean, down here, you guys got, like, Mike Cruz, Lince Dorado, Trent Beretta, you got, you know, Los Bendejos. You got a lot of top cruiserweights in this area. Sure, I mean, don't get me wrong, you still got the Bruce Santees and the Frankie Chiazzos that are a little bit more methodical, but Corey Chavis is the guy, 220, 230, that can go with any cruiserweight in the business in that faster pace, and John Davis is a big star down here. I mean, you know, these are, I mean, for every Kyle Matthews in Georgia, there's 25, you know, Kyle Matthews here in Florida. And that's nothing against Kyle Matthews. That's just how the business is because you got the NXT developmental system down here. You got TNA working in Orlando a lot. So a lot of the guys move down here to try to get seen by those guys.
And I don't know a lot about
now. Maybe
the
some of the smaller independent shows that I don't, you know, but the bigger shows in Florida are definitely a lot more heavier to the light heavyweight division than it is to the heavyweight division. That's for sure. I mean. Don't get me wrong. I mean, for you know, Michael Tarver is a pretty big guy down here for NWA FUW, and like I said, Chiazzo and Bruce Santee and some others. But most of the guys are actually a lot smaller, believe it or not.
Yeah, and that's something I don't – being in Georgia, I don't know a whole lot about the Florida wrestling. And what I was mainly speaking of right there was the old stuff. You know, that's
– the old stuff, okay,
that's
totally fine. But that is different. I mean, you could say that for every territory. I mean, Portland was a little bit more hardcore. Memphis was a little bit more zany and marketable. But we're not talking about 1975. We're talking about 2014. And what separates LaGrange Championship Wrestling from anybody in the area they're in? Because looking at your poster, not much.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I want to take wrestling more back to the old school. Like what? And my thing is wrestling. You know, the key to wrestling is in the past, and that's coming from a local level. That's not, you know, that's not a statewide level because it is different in every territory. Like you said, every area has what they want to see, and that's what when our fans are telling us. you know, we want to see these things, we want to see these things. You try to bring that into it. And that's what we want to do is a product, and that's what we're doing. It's a production company, and we're putting on a wrestling show. And that's no different than what anybody, you know, what the WWE does. They are an entertainment company that produces a wrestling product. And that's the way we tackle it. And I don't go in there and try to, you know, micromanage talent. When you've got guys like Simon and Tommy and Jake and Chick, you don't need to go in there and tell those guys every little thing they need to do. They know what they need to do. And that's one of the biggest problems with a lot of things on the national stage. You know, when you get to WWE, everything is scripted. You're told everything that you're going to do and what you're not going to do unless you're a name like John Cena or Randy Orton, and then you got leeway. And these guys, you know, it's not, say, inmates running the asylum, but you trust these guys. They know what they need to do to get over.
I concur with you, you know, it's at least 75% on that one, but I think you're a little too concerned with mainstream wrestling. I think mainstream wrestling has no bearings on what LaGrange Championship Wrestling does at all. I mean, and Simon's a great guy, and Simon should be agenting, but I'll be honest with you, I don't think Joey Kidman should call a fucking finish to save his goddamn life, and I'm one of Joey Kidman's biggest fans. But if I'm a booker or if I'm an agent that back, I'm not letting Kidman come with a fucking finish because I guarantee you it's going to probably suck.
Well, here's
and
the
I know
thing.
Kidman. I love Joey Kidman, but Joey Kidman's still as green as it gets when it comes to, like, the mental aspects of the game. And that's where, like, you know, what again, the question is, what is separating you from, you know, the UIW? Because, honestly, again, I'll go back to the poster. Looking at your poster, looking at your talent, there's not much difference between you and Hard Times, you and UIW, and you and the other one. So what's really making you guys stand out? Like, you know, what is your defined – you say you want to take wrestling back. Well, are you talking about from a booking standpoint? Are you talking about from a work standpoint? Like what do you really mean by I want to take wrestling back?
Well, as far – and going back to that while ago, I don't let guys call finishes. That's my decision. You know, what they
but
do in the middle of the match to
okay,
tell the story – is there. I'm going to trust their judgment to get to the finish. That's the thing. You let the guys know this is what I want. How you get there is up to you, but I have guidelines when you do that. I don't want you doing this. I don't want you doing that. Keep it clean. Do this because this is a family show. We're not going to do this. And as far as separating us from, you know, like Hard Times or anybody else, I know that group up there. Does the poster show a separation? I personally don't like a lot of the posters that people put out nowadays.
I mean, I agree, but
the way I look at it, number one, the biggest thing I can tell you is come to one of our shows, because I've done enough in the last several years and been enough to enough shows to realize what's lacking, and ours just isn't a talent thing. Number one, you have to look at it from a production standpoint. What are you doing to separate? Very good question. I'll tell you what we do to separate. We incorporate some of the stuff that you see on TV with lights and everything else. Now, I know in Florida a lot of places do it now, but in Georgia there's a lot of places that don't incorporate lights because they're doing matches. They're concentrating on the wrestling itself. I bring in live bands to perform during intermission, local talent that are live bands to get their name out there. You know, that's a free thing for them, and it's something different. We got a lot of good feedback from our fans. Hey, we enjoyed the show. It's a fast-paced show. We run a two-hour show. It's a tight ship from start to bottom, bottom to top. We have little things that go on, but we try to keep the action in the ring and keep the fans entertained. And that's even from the people at the door who works the door. That's from the people who sweep the floors. That's the people that work concessions. What we do in concessions is different than what a lot of people do. It's the whole experience that sets us apart. If you haven't been to one of our shows, come, because it's different. It's totally different. You know,
well,
we don't want...
And I like what you're telling me, but... I'm a wrestling fan. I may not be a country music fan. I may not be a rock and roll fan. I'm a wrestling fan. I want to go to a show that has wrestling, that's going to give me a different experience in wrestling. So that's my thing is, like, it's great that you got a light show. It's good that you got bands. But as a wrestling pro, like, are you – and that's the thing. Are you sports entertainment or are you pro wrestling in your world?
In my world,
yes.
I do both. The wrestling we have is phenomenal. The angles that we run and the story that we have going on. This story between me and Chick, all that fell apart, and it started 20 years ago. All that has fell apart, and that's the main thing right now. It is the fallout between me and him. And then there's the undercard stuff that's going on that, you know, I'm not going to sit here and get into it because that's going to tell fans what's going on with stuff. So
tell us a little bit about what we've missed from the first two shows leading into this show on Friday. So people understand. Well, you've talked a lot about production value, but tell us about what's going on.
Well, the thing with Chick, when I got back on the road with him 3 years ago now, we went all over the state doing stuff. I was, you know, a right-hand man, so to speak, for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then realizing all that, I realized, you know, on one hand, I kind of took it as like a father figure. Chick is, you know, showing me more stuff, finishing up things, and teaching me more psychology and all the jazz that goes with it, and giving me the tools that I need. But at the same time, I'm watching what's taking place, and it ends up I'm more of a bag toter, you know, a golf club carrier, a chauffeur or stuff for him. And then you start realizing, okay, I'm refereeing the majority of his matches in which he's winning. You know, is that because he and I have a friendship, or is that because that's the way it goes? And what ends up being, and then the story comes up where Chick starts favoring another guy, and I realize, you know, this just isn't the friendship that I thought it was. And what ended up happening is back in November, another guy did some shows on the ground. He's just some spot shows, and we were part of it. And at the end of the match, Chick won again. I was refereeing. And I thought about everything. I said, you know, it comes down to the fact, well, this has been 20 years now, and 19 years ago, it all goes back to this point when he was WCW big time, and it was in high school. He was actually a substitute teacher back in the day. He did that on the side. And I confronted him one day. I asked him what it felt like, you know, to get his tail beat by Sting on national TV. That didn't go over well with him. So, and he, you know, he sells his injury right there from the backdrop. You know, my back's still hurting from what Sting did. And I said, well, you know, it's all fake anyway, just, you know, messing with him, pulling his leg, ripping him. Well, he decides to take a meter stick and put it up against my throat, push me up against the wall, start trying to choke me. And this is in high school, wanting to know if I thought that was fake. So that goes all the way back then. It's not a grudge, but it's a thing where this guy brings me under his wing right here to do this, and I'm kind of getting used, get tired of carrying the man's bags. And, you know, he's a good guy, but he's 67 years old. It's time for somebody else to step into the light. And it ain't got to be me, but it's time for somebody else to start carrying that banner, because it's time for Chick to go on down that golden road, so to speak. The golden boy should have became a golden man, and he didn't. Well, there's reasons why he didn't. You know, whether he pays somebody off or he takes somebody under his wing like he did me and starts trying to do stuff, and you end up at the end of that match after he won the title in November, I went to hand him the belt. I laid it down, gave him a hug, and then I DDT'd him into the belt, and that was the beginning of the end.
Okay, so when was that?
That was in November. And then
this was another one.
It wasn't our show then. It was another guy that we're not going to name that did a spot show, and Chick and I were involved in it, and that's when I decided to do the deal. And then we come back into our shows, LCW shows, and it's just continued to be an onslaught to try to do what we can to keep Chick out of the limelight, but somehow, you know, slipping on the banana peel don't work anymore. And he ends up becoming, you know, the champion again. After the last show we had a battle royal for the title. Tommy too much looked like he was going to be the winner, but, you know, Jake's in my little stable right there with me and Dennis, and Jake comes in and shit cans him over the top right there, and Jake ends up winning. Well, Chick says somebody sabotaged his car, you know, and he thinks it's one of us in our group that done it. We were all there at the venue. We didn't do it. And it ends up they won a title match, so I grant the title match, and lo and behold, what we tried to do didn't work out. Dennis Kell jumped in there to hit him with a boot, popular heel move that Dennis does, and Chick ducks, and Jake gets hit, and Chick ends up winning the belt there. So he becomes the LCW heavyweight champion.
So you're doing a heel authority gimmick, and you're also the heel manager at the same time, correct?
Yes.
Now, you're also, like, everyone knows that you're the owner of the company, too, right? Like, that's pretty much out that you are the owner of the company.
In some ways, yes. Well, it is now. Yeah, it is now. I've been here.
So just for me being a skeptic, wouldn't it be better just to fire Chick and not even worry about this anymore and just move on? If you hated him that bad, wouldn't it make more logical sense to just not have him work for you?
Well, that's
no,
like
because there ain't no money in firing him.
Wouldn't it have been easier for Vince McMahon to fire Stone Cold in the
Here's the thing.
Right.
What's the number
so,
one goal
so
in the business?
If the angle already has lots of logic holes, then, you know, I have to question. I mean, I don't see how this angle is different from what WWE is doing on TV right now. I mean, I don't see how this is any different from what Dixie is doing on TV right now. Like, I'm not seeing anything that's making your product say we are 100% different. Like, if I get a choice between the four promotions in West Georgia, and I'm going to keep saying this because, you know, your goal on this show is to sell your product, and I'm just not seeing anything different than what anybody else is doing. And that, to me, I think is a bigger travesty because you are doing a good show from what I've heard from other people. And it's like, but he's not doing anything different. Like, what makes LaGrange Championship Wrestling stand out?
It's the whole product, and that's what I said before. That's just one of the things. And there's a tie-in with everything. I'm not going to sit here and gaga about what all we got going on, but at the same time while that's going on, there's two other stories that are coming into play with that whole finish right there, and that's the whole thing with it. As far as Chick, yeah, you know, I could just say the heck with Chick Donovan and fire him and let him go, but he's a champion right now. It's not working out the way it needs to work out, but that goes back to the goal of the business. You know, the guy said a while ago, why didn't Vince just fire Steve Austin? Well, he did
right.
fire Steve Austin.
I mean,
it
always
didn't work.
I'm going to tell you why.
I'll tell you why. What's the number one goal in the wrestling business?
To make money.
To have an ass every 18 inches.
If I fire
Chick Donovan, if I fire him and he's not on my card and there's not some logical reason, okay, you know, he fails a drug test and he don't do drugs, but he fails a drug test. You could do crap like that. But
no, I mean, you just fire him because from a logic standpoint, this is what I'm an asshole, so, you know, I'm a skeptic. So from a logic standpoint, if I'm running a business and I got an employee who doesn't want to follow the chain of command, who doesn't want to do things the way it's supposed to be done, you let them go. In the world, that's what you do. But for some reason, in the wrestling world, we're told to, well, no, you can't do that because then it doesn't make sense. No,
well,
it makes too much sense to fire the guy.
You know, he doesn't buck the system. He goes after everything that's thrown at him. He attacks it because that's just the type of, you know, resistant individual that he is. He goes at it head on. But, you know, the hypocrisy only goes so far. What are we going to do? You know, the goal of a heel, you don't cheat all the time. You only cheat when it's necessary. Don't want to just fire the guy. There's no reason to just fire the guy. He hasn't done anything wrong. It's just a matter of he and I have got a personal vendetta with each other, and I'm going to settle it in the ring.
And that's the thing is if you run a business, a real business, not just a wrestling business, but a real business, and someone isn't, and you got a personal vendetta with an employee, you find a reason to fire them. You find a reason. Georgia,
now, why would you
want to
fire
Georgia?
With a work ethic like that, why would I want to fire the guy?
Yeah, regular business, you don't make money off of Chick Donovan being there and butting heads with the boss. But in wrestling, you do, because people want to see what happens. So I see where he's coming from with it.
No, I get where he's coming from, but it's that's what I'm saying. But that's been done so many times.
Yeah.
Well, let's get right down to it, guys. If we cut all the BS on the side, if we cut kayfabe out, that's all anybody does. There's only so many chords to a guitar before you have to start coming up with the same music over and over and over. That's the reason why a lot of the crap that's on the radio nowadays, it all sounds the same.
Exactly.
The same thing works
exactly. But you know what gets over? When that one person does something completely different, and you came on this show and said you were going to do something completely different, and again, here we are in this interview, and you're showing me that you're not doing anything different than anybody else. You got a light show. Okay, congratulations. You got a light show.
Have you been to our show?
No, I've not. I've not seen anything about your shows until 2 days ago when Jonathan Williams said you're coming on the show and Mark Grayson sent me some information about you. And that's all I've known about you because, in all honesty, I mean, here I am, the co-host of the show, and I'm not seeing press releases. I've seen your posters because I guess Mark Grayson shared them. But again, what are you doing to show that LaGrange Championship Wrestling is different and is a place to be for up-and-coming young stars, a place to be for professional wrestling, a place to say we are different, we are bucking the trends. And the only thing that you told me was different was you're putting lipstick on a pig and you got light show and you got some bands. But coming up this Saturday night or Friday night, whenever your show is, you're doing just like every other show in Georgia. You're going to have an authority angle, which I think AWN's got something right now, an authority angle. And then you got, you know, NWA Atlanta's got something, an authority angle. Anarchy Championship, or Anarchy Wrestling, and Cornelia just had an authority angle like a year ago. UIW had an authority angle a few years ago. I mean, it's tried and true. It's been done so many times. Like, you know, your problems
with the Grange Championship
are different.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you running a promotion?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But I guarantee you, if I ran a promotion right now, I would not be doing what everybody else is doing. Trust me on that. And
that's cool. That's cool. What else would you have different? A cage match? I mean, what
I
would you
do?
Any
gimmick matches. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you right now, if I ran a promotion, you would never see a gimmick match in my shows. And that's a fact. I would not do a gimmick match at all if I was running a promotion with my name on it. I am so tired of gimmick matches that I would never run a fucking gimmick match. My gimmick would be a one-on-one contest every fucking night, maybe a 2 out of 3 pinfall if it calls for it. But other than that, there is no gimmick matches because gimmick matches have been done until they're not worth the damn anymore.
Well, what would you do differently? What would you do differently? You said you would have one-on-one matches. You would do straight-up matches.
I would
Let's
do straight-up one-on-one matches. I would have win-loss records, and I would make wins and losses matter. I would bring back the top 10 rankings like WCW used to do back in the late 80s, what everybody used to build their promotion on, and I probably would only have one champion. Oh, my God, what a concept. One fucking champion. I wouldn't
well,
have any fucking junior titles. Or, well, right
I don't have
you
any
did,
of that.
You just
I've
started.
Got... No, I'm not going to have none of that. There's no need
well,
for all
that's
that. Good.
I'm in a town. I'm glad you're going to do that.
Dude, I'm in a town in a county with less than 100,000 people. There's no need in having 15 different belts. I'm one
no,
of those
I agree.
Guys
and I'm totally glad you're doing that.
When guys show up with their own belt, my first question is, what the hell do you got that for? You're not going out there on my floor even to sign autographs for the belt, dude, because you're not a champion. You know, what is a champion? How do you become a champion? And you know, going back to the one-on-one matches, this is simple. As far as just, oh, and see, you're different. You're different than a lot of people. Am I happy just going and watching people wrestle one-on-one? Yeah, I'm satisfied with that. But is that what is paying the bills? Is that what is putting that ass every 18 inches? Let's face it.
But you don't know. But you don't know because you're not willing to try it. You're willing to try it in true measure.
How many matches have you had at your first two shows? How many people have been there?
A little over 200.
At each show or altogether?
Did your first
no,
did
at
your
each
first
show,
two shows,
my first show.
Okay.
What
my
was your first
show
show's
was
main
little,
event?
My first show's main event was, it was actually a follow-up from the previous spot shows. It was a tag team main event.
Okay, and what
you
was
know,
your
that
second
was,
show's main event?
My second show main event was the Battle Royal, but that went on first, but the actual main event ended up being Chick and Jake Slater for the title.
And how did you get to the title match?
The title match came in because, like I said earlier, Chick wasn't able to make the Battle Royal. He was supposed to be in it. He had some car trouble or some crap like that. Jake comes in and he shit cans Tommy. He takes the title off of Tommy. Well, Chick says, well, I was supposed to be in a Battle Royal and I wasn't here. You know, why can't I have a match? Okay, if that's fair. He wasn't here.
So,
he was advertised
so
for it.
Where did your title come from?
My title came from the Battle Royal because we didn't have a champion.
Okay, so your second show, you said right then, I need to have a champion.
No, sir, I didn't. That was the purpose of the Battle Royal, to have a champion.
But what made you say, as a promoter and a booker, that you need to have a champion in your second show?
In the second show? Well, you got to have somebody who's the flag bearer right there. And there needs to be a person that's a champion. The people want to know, that was the question, who's going to be the champion for LaGrange Championship Wrestling? You know, who is going to be the front man? Well, right now, through a series of, you know, small events right there, Chick Donovan ends up getting the belt. This is his hometown, too. So he takes the title. You got to get it off of him. So that's the thing now. We're going to get it off of him. And when you got Luke Gallows, who sends me a message and says, hey, I'm interested in that. All right, I'm all about it. It's not fair, you know. It's not fair for Chick or Swinger because now that match becomes a triple threat this Friday. But that's
I don't think it's fair to Joey Kidman, who's been on both of your shows and hasn't got a title shot yet. I don't think it's fair to Tommy Too Much, who lost the belt and hasn't got another title shot.
Well, and that's where there's the angle coming in. The reason why all that, without getting into telling everything, that's the reason why there's an angle with everything, how things planned.
Who's Joey Kidman? Well, first of all, you mentioned earlier that you've talked to the other promoters in West Georgia about scheduling and other things. Does that mean you're gonna make an effort to not run the same days? Are you always going to run Friday nights?
Well, right now, Friday nights is working good for us. You know, that may not work 2 months down the road. It may not be worth a dang. Go ahead.
Who on this Friday, who's Joey Kidman facing? Who is Tommy Too Much facing? And whoever else you got working? What do you have
Tommy,
a card set yet?
Yeah. Hell yeah, Tommy's in a grudge match with Jake because of what Jake come in and threw him out of the ring. Tommy didn't like that. You know, Tommy said, look, you know, if this guy's going to come in and do this, I want him one-on-one. Hey, fine, get in the ring one-on-one and settle it. We'll decide who a number one contender is from that point if that's what you want to do. We'll go from there. So that's no big deal. Joey Kidman's in a tag match. He and Leo Bryan are tagging against Michael Patrick and Cowboy Dennis Gale, and that's the old school style versus the new school style. You got two young, good-looking guys right there who are huge baby faces. Kidman gets a lot of reaction. Leo gets a lot of reaction from the crowd. Dennis is, you know, basically the top heel right there. People can't stand to see him come out. Michael Patrick's another big heel. Put them in a tag match. Let them see how they function in that deal. It's just spreading it all over the round, letting people do different things. And you got Simon coming back in a return payback match right there against Elrod Campbell in a no disqualification street fight. That goes all the way back to not this past show, but the show before. And that goes back to the first show we had. They had an impromptu match right there. Well, there was a delay with our ring getting there. Simon says, look, I'm ready to go. Hey, do it, fellas. Go out there and do it. Make the money. So they put on a hell of a show. It was probably one of the best matches we had on the card because the ring wasn't even set up. They fought all around the whole arena. Simon ends up losing. Simon's able to come back. This show, he didn't make the last show. He had an injury he was dealing with right there. Come back, hey, I'm not finished with him. I'm not finished with Elrod. I'm not done with that. Hey, that's great. And it was the biggest match we had right there. People loved that because it was something different. It wasn't even a ring set up, and those guys went out there and tore the house down. And that's somebody like Simon, who is a ring general, who is a general in knowing what he's doing, who goes out there and not only entertains the people but gives them what they want.
You can't sell me on Simon Sermon. Simon Sermon's been one of my favorites for years, so you can't sell me on Simon. I know how good he is. You know, that's the thing. Like, I just see so many promotions spring up, and I just want to make sure, like, you know, is this one that I should say, hey, I give it my stamp of approval, and, you know, not that my opinion matters, but I like to think my opinion matters, and to give my stamp of approval, I mean, you know, you have to wow me, and, you know, you keep saying you're different, and I want to see you do some stuff that's different. I mean, I do want to see that. I mean, I want to see a different product, and I think it's very important that you give us that, and I think it's important to the people of West Georgia that you set yourself apart from UIW and from Peach State and from Hard Times, and I think to do that, you have to get a more varied roster.
Well, and I understand, but there again, you live in Florida, correct?
Yes, but I just moved to Florida a year ago. I mean, I still have my ties to Georgia. It's not like I'm a Floridian. I am a Georgia guy. I mean, I lived in Georgia my entire life, and I still, you know, keep up with the wrestling product. I still have a lot of friends in the industry in Georgia, and I want to see Georgia succeed because I do have my ties to the Georgia business, and that's why when a promotion springs up, you know, I want to see a promotion say, fuck you guys, we're going to do something different, and then actually do something different. And that's why, like, when you say, I'm doing something different, but then I hear what you're doing, I'm like, well, that's not too much different than everybody else is doing.
Well, do you want me to break kayfabe right here and then just totally shoot on you and tell you everything?
You can do whatever you want to. I mean, I can care less about kayfabe. I mean, I mean, this is 2014. If the king of the empire of the wrestling industry can tell you that, well, that's just entertainment, then I don't see why you can't.
Well, the reason why is because if I were a magician, never reveals his tricks.
The tricks have been out of the bag since 1930s. I mean, nobody that watches wrestling today believes that it's ever been real, and no one that watched in the 80s ever really believed it was real. I mean, come on. Most of us that are in the business today or have access to the business, we've all read Meltzer's online crap. We've all read Meltzer's newsletter. We're not silly. And no one listening to the show's fucking is a goddamn Santa Claus is still alive mark. Come on, this is a fucking podcast, the internet.
Well, wait a minute, and I understand it's the internet, and I realize, well, man, I have a whole lot of marks out there listening, and I realize this is more inside baseball talk, but the thing is, if you don't believe that there are still people that believe in what we do.
Oh, I know there are.
And those are, that's where you make your money. I mean, you look at Peach State. I have worked at Peach State several times. There are still people who will try their best to get in the ring and knock somebody's damn head off. They'll throw stuff at them and everything else because they know that is real.
Those are the best fans in the world, and they are not listening to this podcast. Trust me.
Well, and I understand that. Completely I understand that. But, if you could come to one of our shows, I can't say you would change your mind because you're set in your ways. You're set with, you know what you like. You're very opinionated, and it's great. You know what you like. You know what you want to see. But when something works and it's doing what it needs to do.
And you're right. What you do will probably work for 200 to 300 people in LaGrange. But what will your goal, you said when you came to the show, your goal is to put 10,000 people in an outdoor stadium in the city of LaGrange.
No,
I'm sorry.
What I said was I'd love to have.
An authority angle ain't doing it.
He said, in all fairness, he did say 2,000. It's a 10,000-seat arena.
Well, the 10,000-seat arena, you get 2,000 people. But I'll go ahead and tell you right now, the angle that you're running is not going to get that because everyone
sees
that.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you understand what blow-offs are?
Yeah, oh, no, I've never heard of a goddamn blow-off in my entire life.
Well, I'm just asking because do you think I'm going to run the same angle all the time?
No, I don't
think
you're
going
the same angle over time, but I think for you to have your third show and you to already like be running an angle for the heavyweight title, I think that's a little much. Personally, I don't think anyone on your roster outside of Chick Donovan and maybe Simon Sermon and Tommy Too Much to an extent is even established in that area, and yet here you are, you're running an angle. No one's established, no one's over, really, but you're running an angle. That's what everybody does. And that's why you see guys in front of 45 people doing flaming tables matches because, well, we ain't going to draw more than 45, so might as well give these 45 a flaming table. It's fucking bullshit, man. That's why the wrestling business is down right now.
And that's right, and that's where going back to the old part of wrestling and doing different things, that get people in. You got to realize people in LaGrange are not going to go 45 minutes up the road or an hour and a half up the road to watch a show at UIW or watch a show at Peach State. So the guys I'm bringing in, they don't even know who Tommy Too Much and Simon Sermon is. They don't know.
And there you go. They don't know who Tommy Too Much and Simon Sermon is, but you are building them like they're already championship caliber athletes to the fans coming to your show. And that, I think, is where you're making the mistake is your market doesn't know who the guys are. You just said it yourself.
Well, you got to introduce the guys, don't you?
You got to introduce the guys. But to introduce the guys, the way you're introducing guys, it's a little fast for me. And if you want to take wrestling back to the old school, then you got to study the Sam Muchnick, the Ole Anderson, and the Ken Mantell, and the Bill Watson, the way they used to book. They didn't just hotshot a fucking angle just because, he's the hometown hero. They built their angles the proper way. And you're sitting here telling me that you're an old school guy, but you're not promoting like the old school. You're promoting the shit I can see on TV for free every goddamn Monday.
Well, here's the thing. Number one, when you start talking about Chick Donovan, everybody knows who he is. You got to realize
everyone knows who Chick Donovan is, and Chick should be. If you are building your promotion around Chick Donovan, I got no problems with that whatsoever. But there's more money in Chick Chase than there is money fucking someone chasing Chick, and you know that.
Yeah, I do know that, and that's where this show coming up, things change. Things change. And I know what you're going off of. You're going off of what has already happened. Okay? I don't look at what's happened. I look at what's going to happen. I look at the reaction we get from fans on Facebook, the reaction we get from our pre-sales, our ticket sales, our door. I mean, that's what I look at. That's what I look at. Where is the interest coming from? And everybody in town, there's a lot of people who love Chick. There's people that drive an hour to come to our show just to see Chick Donovan because they don't get booked anywhere else. for whatever reason why people don't want to book him, I don't know.
Where can people buy pre-sale tickets?
Well, you know, you can check us out on Facebook, LaGrange Championship Wrestling. We've got both numbers listed to call. If there's an issue with, you know, we can hold tickets at the door for somebody. If people want to go ahead and pay for them, I've got it set up through PayPal. We can actually send them an invoice through PayPal, and they can get their tickets that way and come to the show. Multitudes of ways. I mean, something else we do differently, we don't mind taking a debit or a credit card. I know a lot of places don't do that. That's just senseless not to do it. We don't mind doing that.
Does your show run monthly?
Right now we're running every 3 or 4 weeks, depending on when we can get our building booked, because we're running in the National Guard Armory, which is a good facility, and because you're on a military installation, we don't have to put up with a lot of riffraff like in some of these hole-in-the-wall places. You get people show up, want to be drunk, want to be high and cause problems. We don't have that. It's a clean family show, so it works out great.
So you got 2 minutes. Hard sell us your show this weekend.
2 minutes right off the bat, you've got Luke Gallows coming in who sent me a message. He wants a part of the action coming back from Japan. Johnny Swinger's in there with Chick Donovan. That was another thing with Swinger right there. I said, look, you know, I want a shot at your belt. Not a problem, because these other guys, like you mentioned, Tommy Too Much and Simon Sermon, they're not going right into the title hunt, because right now they're in the middle of something else they got going on. You got Jake Slater who's going to go up against Tommy Too Much to settle that grudge right there, where he comes in and shit cans Tommy out of the match right there at the last minute. Tommy don't like that. Jake thought it was great. So they're going to come in there. They're going to finish their match to see which one will be a number one contender for it, if that's the way we want to go with it. And you got Elrod and Simon going to finish their payback match. That payback match goes back to their street fight that they had, and Simon thought he got a shafted hand on it. You know, he's real pissed at me because the ring's not there yet. You know, I come to raffle. Why is the ring not there? Okay, well, this is what we got. You can either take it or leave it. And that's our biggest thing we got right there. And then, you know, we got the tag match coming up with Dennis Gill and Michael Patrick going against those young guns, see how they fare up against those. And then Stan Somerville and Ash have a match going on first. Come to the show.
All right.
I'll be busy Friday night.
That's understandable.
All right. It says doors open at 6:30, bell time 7:15. It's at the National Guard Armory in LaGrange. Do you want me to read off these phone numbers and email address, or do you have them, Patrick?
That's fine if you want to read them off.
706-594-4614 or 706-594-0116 or email lagrangechampionshipwrestling@gmail.com. This is how people can buy tickets in advance or to get information.
Yes, sir, and they can also – oh, yeah, both. They're both. Everything is both ways, and you can also check us out on Facebook at LaGrange Championship Wrestling. There's information. You can PM us there. That's what a lot of people do to get their tickets. Any way right there that you want to, any avenue you take, you can do it to get tickets for the show.
Okay. Do you have a date set for your show after that one?
No, we do not. We do not have a day set. The reason why is the armory is actually going through some renovations, and we don't know when they're going to start that. It'll probably towards the end of April when we do our next show. We're kind of running towards the end of the month, first of the next month. That's what we're usually doing right there every 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay. All right. Well, Josh, you got anything else?
I'm finished.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Patrick. I don't think there are many other shows running on Friday, so you have that in your favor as well.
And another thing, I was talking about Mark. Mark's a great help, great guy. Can't do stuff without him. And all the guys on the card, they do their job. You know, like you said about Simon, I'm not trying to sell Simon to you at all, but I can't say enough about somebody like that, or Tommy or Jake or anybody. You can't say enough about it. And your talent, another thing I need to do before we go, if y'all don't mind, is give props to my production people who work production. They are phenomenal. Every part of it that they do, the door, the floor, concessions, and everything. Those are the people. Without good production people, you can't have a place for talent to perform. And if you don't have good talent, you don't have a place for production to work. So I just want to make sure that I stress that it's a team thing. It's everybody.
All right. Well, I'll definitely try to make it out on Friday. If not, the next show sounds probably more likely for me. I don't know if Josh is going to be able to make it up from Florida,
Yeah, that's a long drive, man. It's a long drive.
And one more thing, I just want to give.
Yeah,
Pop.
If you post your videos on YouTube, I'll watch. I mean, I'll watch all day long if you post a video somewhere. But yeah, it's a little hard for me to get to LaGrange from Tampa.
I understand, and I want to say that, you know, biggest thanks right there is for Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, for blessing us to be able to do it. And as long as He blesses us to do it, then that's what we want to do. Is just keep putting on shows and entertaining people, and, you know, got to give all the props to Him. Without Him, we don't, you know, our talents are on loan from Him. So if we can't do that, then we don't have anything to work with.
All right. All right. Well, thanks again for calling. And I'm sure we'll, if I don't make it, I'm sure I'll hear from somewhere how the show goes and who wins and all that.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys having me on and letting us talk, and it was a good discussion, and I appreciate it. Appreciate the insight from the other fellow right there. I didn't catch your name.
It's Josh Wheeler.
What was your name? Josh Wheeler. Okay. I appreciate it, Josh. I mean, it was good, invigorating conversation. It's good to have somebody ask
Thank
questions
you,
like that, and I appreciate it. And Jonathan, I appreciate you getting me in on this, and it was a good time, and I hope we can do it again.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, like I said, there aren't a whole lot.
Big weekend in wrestling. I got to hard sell these two big shows this Saturday night. Hardcore Hell coming to Cornelia, Georgia, the Anarchy Arena, the Church of Southern Wrestling, the biggest three-way in the history of the business, literally the biggest three-way. Jeter, Michael Judas, and Iceberg, that's almost 1,000 pounds alone, if not a little bit over that. That one's going to be unbelievable. Plus, you got the Urban Assault Squad versus the Washington Bullets for tag titles, the Young Lions four-way. Four of my favorite guys, I don't know how they're Young Lions, but who cares? It's Sean Timbers, it's Bobby Moore, it's Ace Rockwell, it's Slim J, and, of course, UIW. First time in the history of Georgia professional wrestling, a tag team bitches cage match. It's Pandora and Nina Mone against Mickey Knuckles and Jesse Bell Smothers. I think Mickey Knuckles is using a different name, though, but whatever. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be bloody, and it's coming down at the UIW. It's their fifth anniversary show, and also they'll be inducting quite the legends in their Hall of Fame as well, and so much more this weekend. You guys got some shows coming up this weekend?
Yeah, I think Isabel is her name. She's one of the Smothers.
Yeah, daughters. Isabel Smothers. That's what she goes by when she wrestles with Jesse Bell.
Yeah, and she called in a few months back. It was before you were involved with the show, but she was very entertaining.
I have the biggest mark for Mickey Knuckles in the world. That bitch is a bad, bad bitch, and that is going to be a violent, violent matchup. I do not – you know what?
I was there for
Pandora
and
Nina Mone are
going to
bleed buckets.
Yeah, I was there for one of the previous ones. I think it was in December between those two teams, and it ended in – I don't think there ever really was an ending. It was just chaos.
It was absolute chaos. It's chaos. And now you're going to take that chaos. You're going to control that chaos. You're locking those beasts, those bitches, those not beautiful women in a cage match. I'm telling you, I do not want to be Pandora's face on Sunday morning.
Well, before that, another show that is running on Friday. There's Alternative Pro Wrestling, of course, every Friday in Royston, but there's another one.
Yes.
I've never heard of this one, United Pro Entertainment, which the name alone bugs me because it's a wrestling show, but they don't put the word wrestling.
It doesn't have wrestling in the title whatsoever.
Anyway, they have Maxwell Chicago, I've never heard of him, versus Tim Zbyszko.
Maxwell
Chicago
is great. He's a guy here in Florida. He does like a comedy gimmick that actually works because it's just so over the top that it's funny. He is a lounge singer turned professional wrestler.
Oh, awesome. Well, it looks like they're using a lot of Florida talent on this. Maxwell Chicago versus Tim Zbyszko, which is Larry Zbyszko's son.
Yeah, Larry Zbyszko's son.
Jason Falcone and Dagon Briggs, who I've seen at Dragon Con.
Yeah.
Ian Shire and T-Bone Funk. Those are the only matches they have listed. But it's Friday in St. Mary's, wow. Georgia, 600 Finley Street. Then Saturday is a big day. Deep Southern Championship Wrestling is in Tennessee. Empire's running in Rossville. GCW in Pell City, Alabama, which features a lot of Georgia talent. UIW, we mentioned. And then, of course, Sunday is East Coast Wrestling Entertainment, where next week's guests, who will also be involved in the UIW show, the usual suspects, Murder One and AJ Steele, will be on
the aforementioned
Monday.
Blacklist will be on. I may call in sick that week.
Well, at least we'll
No, I'm just joking. Hopefully Johnny Danger won't be sick. I'll be here, and just want to let people know, Murder and I have made amends a little bit. We are friends again. We did have a little bit of rift over the winter holiday, and you know, some things with he's got a gun and some various other things, and you know, we're cool now. So it should be a lot better show for my sake.
Well, between all that and everything they'll have going on at UIW and ECWE and wherever else, I think those are their main two places for those guys.
Yeah,
right,
the main
now
two promotions. Yeah,
we'll have plenty to talk about. No doubt.
Oh, of course.
So that's next Monday, and I guess that wraps things up. Don't forget about the I'll have more details next Monday, but Wrestling with Pop Culture's WrestleMania viewing at Club Famous. I'll find out exactly what the prizes for the trivia will be, so you can know what you would be winning.
No, if the prizes are good, I might drive up.
I know there'll be bar tabs and things like that.
Yeah, I can't do a bar tab and then drive by to Tampa. That sucks.
Right, right.
Oh, well.
Well, I'll let you know. And that's it. So thanks for listening. We'll be back next Monday at 7 p.m.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.